Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Linda Armstrong on Friday, October the 4th, 2019. It is 4 p.m. New York time, 1 p.m. Los Angeles, 9 p.m. in London, 5 a.m. in Tokyo, and 6 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And the only unhappy thing today is, for some reason, Zoom does not want to live stream to YouTube, doesn't want to live stream to Facebook, doesn't seem to want to live stream anywhere. So I think we're going to do this the old-fashioned way, Linda. We're just going to do a podcast, and that's all there is to it. So that's okay. It's kind of good to get back to basics at times. And I actually have a little bit of a topic in mind to start the conversation today. Because Louise and I did something we don't often do. We went out for lunch. Often we'll go out for dinner, but we went out for lunch to one of our favorite restaurants. And it reminded me of something that David Barkey, who used to do the podcast with me a couple of years ago for about a 5-6 month period, every single show he would ask me the same thing. He'd say, "Have you had any energy lifting foods lately?" Which I thought was a great question. Mm-hmm. And also led me to, well, led us, when we did our conversations, to talk about not just physical foods, but food for the soul. There are different kinds of things you can do, activities, approaches to life, you know, how positive are you, all that kind of thing, that feed the soul. And so I thought about, let's just talk about some of the ways that we can feed our soul, because I think that's something, you know, it's good to visit every once in a while. So if you're up for it, I figure... And I actually found an article on Psychology Today by a psychiatrist named Dr. Cynthia M. I think her last name is Thaik. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing your name, doctor, but if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. She's not a psychiatrist. She's a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. And she says she's often asked about what kinds of foods are healthy or unhealthy for the heart. Well, she decided to write an article about what she's calling healthy and unhealthy foods, but the foods are not actual foods. They're activities you can do that are either healthy for your heart or unhealthy for your heart. And the first one is what grabbed my attention and made me kind of put this topic together, because she said it's not only healthy for your heart, it's stuff that's healthy foods for your soul. And the first one is gratitude. She says gratitude, she describes it as an expression of thankful appreciation for the benefits that one has received or will receive. And then she quotes Wallace Wattles, who, of course, was the inspiration for the movie The Secret. In his 1910 book, The Science of Getting Rich, he wrote, "The grateful mind is constantly fixed upon the best, and therefore it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best. Faith is born of gratitude. The grateful mind continually expects good things, and expectation becomes faith." So she says, nourish yourself with gratitude by stating 5 things you are grateful for each day before you rise out of bed. And when I read that, it reminded me not so much of something I do when I wake up. I have a little bit different routine when I wake up, but it's something Louisa and I have done for many years now. We'll end a day not so much focusing on gratitude, but focusing on what do we appreciate about what went well during the day, which is kind of the same thing, you know, but it's a way of kind of, you know, rehashing what happened during the day and kind of remembering it. Because we do have a tendency to go through days and forget, okay, we had a really good thing happen, then we just kind of skip past it. And then we had another good thing that happened and we skip past it. And then we spend the next 3 hours focusing on one thing that went wrong. Whereas when we flip the behavior pattern around, we start seeing it differently.
I think some of that too is because when we can allow ourselves to stay in present time, well, you can find everything to be grateful for, because right here, right now, there's nothing going wrong.
Yes, right.
Right? But when something's going wrong, say throughout your day, mm-hmm. and you start to fixate on it, you're not in present time. Now you're fixating on something that went wrong 3 hours ago.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So not only you're not in present time, so you can't see the beauty of what actually is good, you're too stuck in those and attaching all that energy to this other event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it can be tricky because something happens and you're like, I can't believe that happened and this and that and whatever. That's like, I think, a new thing that people are starting to realize is we just can't let ourselves be stuck in those things. Now, okay, if it's something that has to be taken care of, like I cut myself and I get stitches and now I have to go home and I have to ice it or whatever it is, right?
Sure.
You have to take care of it. you're going to keep your focus on it. But if it's that some guy cut me off on the road on my way in and I almost got an accident, and that you're carrying that with you the whole rest of the day.
Right.
Really, you're stuck in some past story that didn't serve you at all in the first place.
You're stuck in traffic is what you really are. You're stuck in traffic that you left an hour ago.
Right. So why do we want to bring that with us here? Now, those aren't great examples, but I'm sure everybody can think of things where, I know I've done it in the past, where I fixated on something somebody said or some argument. And because you don't let it go, it becomes bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. Like the story becomes so big that some of the things in your story never actually really happened.
Yeah, right.
They're just kind of triggered by that.
Yep.
So, but again, that's because you're not in the present moment. Whereas in the present moment, you can always find stuff to be grateful for.
Yeah,
which is like true. What she's saying, or what you're saying that you might be doing in the morning. You wake up, okay, nothing's gone on yet for the day. You know, it's a fresh, brand new day.
Yeah.
You can just sit in gratitude and not hold on to a story from yesterday. Then we can feel and allow that energy to come in, which is a great way to set up the rest of the day, right? That's food for the soul.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely.
Something that will carry you further in a better way, in a higher vibration, than if we're still playing an old story in our head.
No doubt.
People do that in their life. They can't let go of that guy who cheated on me 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, really, come on. Let it go, right?
At some point, you gotta.
Yeah, why you care? And the other thing, too, is if they don't know what we know about energy, they're just inviting other relationships will wind up the same as that one.
Right.
I mean, yeah. How many times have you heard of that?
Oh, God. You mean like in the last week?
But I mean, it's like the same thing with, I'm just saying battered wives because you hear that example.
Yeah.
Or even bad jobs, right?
Sure.
Then you go to the next one, the same thing happens again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't address whatever the underlying energies are there.
Yeah.
And then you bring it with you again.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I like that.
That is good. Yep.
Creative.
Finish what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, I'm finding big time messages coming in a lot about self-care, self-love, and, of course, new beginnings. But letting yourself be in that creative space, because we're creators, and it takes all different forms. You don't have to be an artist with a paintbrush to be a creator.
Right.
You can create in so many different ways. I mean, everything's created, so really we're a creator of everything.
Well, also, when we take what Abraham says, I mean, literally any time that we are focusing on something, we're creating.
Absolutely.
Which means we're creating constantly, continuously.
So that is part of... Again, it comes back to heart and soul. Like, what makes you feel good inside? Like, what do you love doing? Like, or what do you, like, I'm going back, I got a canvas back there. I'm going back to doing some painting, some oil painting. I let that part of myself go, and it seems it's creeping back in again. It's even like another meditation. So you can just get in that energy and that flow, which is feeding my soul, feeding my heart.
Yeah.
And who knows what that opens up for you when you're in that energy.
That's it. Yeah. Because the moment that you make that kind of a shift in the way you're thinking and feeling, stuff is going to happen. Well, I mean, we can't predict what it's going to be because it's going to be different for every person. But stuff's going to happen, and it's going to be better than what you had a moment ago.
But you know what? I want to address something because, especially in this world that we talk about with law of attraction, energy and healing and spirit and all of that stuff I talk about, you still are going to have times that are tough, right?
Sure.
That knock you down and you're like, oh my God, where did this come from? How did I create this? And then you start getting this whole kind of thing. And that stuff will always be there because it's kind of moving us to create something possibly new, different, right? Maybe it's showing up because whatever was keeping you there has run its course and you're not leaving. So now we're going to make it as bad as possible. So you have to leave it and go over here. This is like your guides, right? We're sending you all this stuff. We want you, your soul, you decided that you would be doing this in your life, but you're not getting there. So we're going to help you to try to get yourself out of that, right? Because it's just our, you know, it's that whole thing with, what is it, Einstein, you know, doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. The definition of insanity, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that. So I know I found that in my life too. Like there's some cycle that's repeated like 3 times. And I'm like, what the heck? And I know about all this energy stuff, but still it's showing up. Mm-hmm. But I'm realizing it's showing up so I can get this other part of the overall picture that I was kind of not looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a message in all of it, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, forcing me to look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm only saying that because I guess I'm just talking to those people out there who might be listening who say, yeah, you guys talk about all this great stuff and how we can create our lives and how everything's beautiful because you decide it's going to be, but my life is shit. Right? And then you're going to hear us say, well, you created that shit. And it's true. We have.
Which is really irritating when you're in that place, by the way.
My crap that I'm going through.
Yeah.
I take full responsibility. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, by going into gratitude for what is working well, you allow yourself to open to the understanding of why maybe this thing doesn't serve you anymore, or maybe how you can just tweak it so that you do it in a little bit different way. Maybe you don't give it up completely or give that person up. Maybe the thing is, when you're so stuck in the problem, you cannot see a solution. You have to kind of, because, you know, I used to be in advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would get stuck, like, trying to figure something out. And, you know, the people who I worked under would say, just go outside for a walk. It'll come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, and all of a sudden, it comes to you, right? Or you go out to lunch, and you just chill, and take your mind off of it, and you're looking at whatever. And you come back, and all of a sudden, it pops in. Because you've opened up the space for it.
Right.
So that's feeding your soul mm-hmm. by doing something, or just by gratitude, or by doing something simple that allows you to maybe stop that mind chatter for a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal because that mind chatter can really take over if you let it. So you have to actually take kind of a conscious approach to, I'm going to shift that mind chatter away and replace it with what I really want to be focusing my attention on. It takes some doing, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. And even those who know, understand, I fully understand it. I still get stuck in it. And so I'm still having to learn that. But for me, it's a little bit different now. For me, it's like my ego is trying its best to keep its control over me.
Mm.
But my spirit is becoming so strong that it can't. Mm-hmm. It does, but maybe for only 2 hours. Instead of running through the whole day or the whole week or, you know, a couple of days, whatever. It used to be I just find that I can get through it much quicker because I have a fuller understanding of it and I can feel it when it starts happening. I'm like, wait a minute. Do I really think that thought I just had? Like, okay, good try. I see you. Okay, you want me to fall? I feel fear. Okay, I feel it. But you know what? I'm not going to live there. No more. I'm not living there anymore. I choose to go to the light, basically. So I don't even know a good way to describe that. I don't know if I'm doing a good enough job.
No, you're doing well, yeah.
But it's like I notice for myself with the stuff I've been going through that fear-based ego can't keep me there for too long.
Mm.
It can sink me.
It'll try.
But it can. Mm-hmm. But it won't sink me for very long.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, all right, this is happening. Yeah. So it's not like you want to deny it or push it away. You want to go into it. Like, all right, yeah, okay. All right, you want me to be really fearful because, you know, you're losing your grip on me because I'm not living my life through fear anymore, but you got to throw this big one at me because you want me to live there. And of course, it's all our own creation. So
right.
Not like this ego is a separate entity. It's you. It's a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like we no longer want to live through that part of us. But, you know, I want it to be there when it's actual real fear. Like my life is in danger. Okay, yeah, talk to me. You know? Or maybe it's given me some fear because, again, kind of like spirit will, I'm going down the wrong direction or I'm putting too much focus on something or it wants me to pay attention to this over here because, so I mean, I'm not saying it's entirely bad. There's good to it. Mm-hmm. But when we find ourselves in these really lower emotions, a lot of the time, most of the time, we don't need to be there.
No, actually, we never really need to be there for any length of time more than a minute or two. I mean, they do serve some purpose because they help us identify what we don't like, and that's an important thing.
Yeah. We don't need to live there.
Oh, we don't need to live there. That's definitely true. Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, Dr. Saik, after talking about the importance of gratitude, the number two item on her list is something that we often equate to gratitude. But she distinguishes it as a separate item, appreciation.
Yeah, that's tricky. That's a tricky little thing there.
Isn't it? Yeah.
To describe it properly. So I love to hear what she says.
Well, she says, appreciation is the recognition of the quality, value, and significance of all things, no matter how seemingly small. It is noticing the gentle breeze, the faint smile, the fragrant scent, the sharp pungent taste, the silence, and recognizing the full value of each moment of life and all that life has to offer. She says, nourish yourself with appreciation by being present in the moment, appreciating all your senses, and allowing nature and your surroundings to fill your very being. That's an interesting way to distinguish it from gratitude.
Yeah, they're very close. Like, to me, they're like neck and neck. I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to describe it. Because it's not like you can only have gratitude for things you have actually created. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate the trees. I am also grateful for the trees. Right?
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very parallel and very, very similar. And I can't say, I mean, I like the definition that she gives to kind of, not so much a definition, but the way she distinguishes one from the other. She treats the gratitude more as a deliberate act you do within yourself, whereas the appreciation is more of an outreach to what's going on around you in the moment. So, you know, that's a reasonable distinction. That's a reasonable way to look at it, I think. Now, number three on the list is probably everybody's favorite go-to. It's love. She says, love is an intense emotional feeling, a core human need that takes many forms. Self-love is equally important as love of others. I'd even go so far as to say it precedes it. It is human nature to take good care of the things we love. We treasure them as valued possessions. And to truly love others, however, we must love ourselves first. Nourish yourself by finding things every day to love about yourself, and then show ways to say, I love you, to the rest of those you love.
Yeah.
That sounds like it almost came on one of your angel cards. I mean, that was a really well-written one.
Yeah, I'm gonna flip a card. I'm going to see what happens.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll do that before we move on to the article, because that may actually bring in something, you know, relevant.
You want to wait on the article, or you want to move on?
Yeah, let's hold the article and see what you have in the card.
Because the energy update I did this week, I pulled three cards, and one was Prosperity Begins. The other one was something about smudging, like space clearing, which we've been doing a lot of that, you mm-hmm. know, clearing out, purging. And then self-care and self-love.
Ah, yeah. That self-love thing is really big. I've got a really strong dose of it and a strong appreciation, to borrow number two, for how important it is to love yourself through the mirror exercises that I started doing about a year ago. And I kind of, I did for pretty solidly for a year, kind of let off on them a little bit lately, but every once in a while now I'll go back to them to do it for a day or two, just kind of like a booster shot, you know, kind mm-hmm. of a reinforcement for what I did before, because boy, during the time I was doing that, Louise and I were kind of indirectly talking about this during lunch. My self-confidence has really grown over the last few years. I'd say particularly over the last year, but over the last few years, it's grown tremendously. And the way I noticed it in terms of what I was talking about with Louise over lunch was I am getting more and more reactions from people, women and men, that tell me they are seeing me differently from the way they saw me before. And these are both people I know and people, you know, out on the street that I've never met before.
Oh, yeah?
I'm getting more female attention in you know, the I'm interested in you kind of attention, even though I'm thoroughly married. And I'm also getting more male attention, not sexually, but more in the lines of, oh, boy, it's hard to describe it. It's just, it's almost like I'm getting a level of respect that I never got before. That's the best way I can think of to say.
I think you're allowing yourself, your true self, to shine bright, and that's what people are reacting to.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's an interesting experience because, I mean, within myself, I've been doing my exercises for the last year, and I've been doing the show with you and with others. And, you know, so it's just been kind of a slow process, and it's been growing and growing and growing. So it's harder for me to see it. But then right. I see it in the eyes of somebody else, and I see it in the way that they're responding to me. I say, wow. I'm definitely different in some way because I'm getting a different response now.
Right. It's like when you're with your own child, you don't notice they grew 3 inches in the past, so and so, and someone else.
Right, right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you've really grown.
So close to it. But so for people who haven't heard you talk about the mirror exercise, why don't we say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mirror exercises, well, first of all, they're really great. A lot of people have recommended them. I followed the way that Jack Canfield, who appeared in The Secret and who is the author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series of books, the method that he proposed. But basically, you just look in the mirror every day. I did it first thing in the morning. I still do it occasionally in the morning. And you just talk to yourself and tell yourself everything you like about yourself. And that first day is the tough one because I did my mirror exercise that day for literally 5 seconds. That's all I could handle. The next day was 10 seconds and then 20 seconds after that, and it got bigger and bigger. But, I just spend time saying, well, you've been doing this, this, and this, and congratulations on how that worked out. And, by the way, you're looking so much younger. You know, what is it? You're getting more sleep, but you're looking great. I'm really proud of what you've been doing. And you're saying this as you're looking yourself in the eyes.
Yeah.
You know? And when you keep doing that, what you realize is that you're giving yourself kind of the strokes you've always wanted people to give you, not realizing that they really needed to come from you.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Nurturing yourself. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's a lot of what everything is about right now. You know, coming back to our truth, right? Going within, not giving all our power out there or how people say things should be done.
Right.
Why should they be done in any which way? You know, in your own way. It's funny because I was listening to an Audible Conversations with God. I just started listening to it.
Oh, Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah, I had it. I just haven't listened to it. My husband's read it, listened to it. You know, he's like all three books. And I'm just in the beginning of it. But, you know, when God was saying the same kind of stuff, you know, like who's to say how it is, right? You're all part of the all that is. Because he was talking about how, like, I think Neil Donald Walsh says, yeah, but what about the Bible? The Bible says, and he goes, well, I didn't write the Bible or something like that. He's like, you know, that's just an interpretation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But you see that. You see teenagers, they give their power away because they think this one's cool. So I can't act like me. I got to act like them.
Right.
Right.
Sure. Well, we all did that too.
Yeah. Or young mothers, although we can be rebellious when our mothers tell us how it's to be done, but we might also think they know better because they've done it already.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But who's to say your way isn't even a better way, you know?
Exactly.
And that's a message I got early on from my guides. There's no right way. There's no right way. Find your own way and keep it simple.
Those are two great messages right there.
I've been living off of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are two great ones.
So this is odd because I got this card, Disruption.
Hmm. Okay.
So I have no clue what this is going to tell us.
Not exactly what I would have predicted, but there's always there's a message in here somewhere that matches up with what we've been talking about. So it'll be interesting to see what it's going to be.
It's like that word again. So we have all these different interpretations. Maybe it's a disruption to the negative self-talk. You know, I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
But that word just off the bat, we're like disruption. Okay. So it says a sudden, usually unforeseen disruption of major change and. Or major change that is happening or about to take place. Okay. That's happening with me.
Okay. All right.
There's major changes, but it wasn't like totally sudden, but you know, anyway. Even if it appears to be a negative experience, it can lead to enlightenment or a total shift in your lifestyle. In traditional tarot meanings, this card represents the falling tower that eventually crumbles due to its weak foundation. Whichever part of your life, make sure I'm on the right page, that you focus on, this is an opportunity to rebuild with a solid, positive structure to make your situation even stronger. I mean, that could even go to the mirror talking right now.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
There are times when the most difficult situations arise in your life. If you choose to, they can act as a catalyst to heal other areas. They're beneficial. This is great because we were talking about how those bad things are actually leading you somewhere good, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're beneficial because they're truly your greatest teachers. Learn from past mistakes, accept them, and integrate them into your life as a stepping stone. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. This disruption card is a reminder that negative thinking, limiting beliefs, ignoring problematic solutions, and risky or careless lifestyles must be addressed so that positive changes can take place. Life has a habit of moving you forward whether you're ready or not. That's it. That's why you,
look at
the things that you think are so bad and see, like pretend you could see past them to all the good stuff that's on the other side, you know?
Not always easy to do, but it's a good practice.
Yeah. But we can do that. We can always get into that imaginative space. Like, okay, the opposite of this is we can find the opposite of this, right? Okay, so it says transformation of the body, mind, and soul can happen if you view this dramatic time or change as an opportunity for growth. In the future, you will look back and be thankful for this opportunity. And that's so true.
Yeah, it's amazing how often that happens. You go through some sort of usually a life event is what we think about it. And once we're going through the life event, it just seems awful and you can't imagine why you'd have to go through it. And then you look back on it, you know, 10 years after it, and first of all, the sting of it is gone by then because it's 10 years later. And second of all, you realize there was something that came out of it that was actually pretty good, but you never associate it with what was going on.
It was
the last thing that you would have associated. But looking back, you realize, oh my God, it really was associated.
Yeah.
Amazing how often that happens.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And we can always look back and say, wow, this is the best. I mean, I've talked to people, cancer patients, who have said it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
I know. I've heard that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the first time I heard that, I said, what are they talking about? It sounds so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But you hear it often enough, you hear enough people saying that, you say, wow, maybe, there really is something to that.
Maybe that's why I had to knock them over the head so they can decide to take self-care, self-nourishment, find what they love, lead from their heart, you know? If you do that at those times, you're like, okay, if I don't have much time left, I want to take advantage of everything that is good.
Right.
Well, we can do that every day. We don't need cancer to do that.
That's true. Although, as you were saying that, it also occurred to me, science likes to do, you know, scientific studies where they measure, okay, what is the incidence of cancer when you're exposed to element X, whatever X is, and then, you know, they show you whether or not it's actually a significant number. Okay, now we have to take this one seriously. Da, 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 da. They never ever, that I've ever seen, at least not outside of what I'll call psychology circles, they never ever look at what people who did go through a dread disease ended up with something beneficial at the end.
Yeah.
That's not something that science ever looks at. It's not part of the way scientists are wired to think.
Right.
But wouldn't it be interesting if there were studies along that line?
Maybe there are. We just don't know about what we're tapping into. You're tapping into it right now.
Possibly. I mean, I would imagine probably within the field of psychology, you could probably find studies like that. Yeah. But I'd like to see it done by the actual scientific researchers who do the other kind of science, because that would be really interesting. So, interesting card. Yeah. And, you know, as you pulled that card and we were talking about, well, disruption, wow, I wonder what that's all about, because it didn't seem to fit. Isn't it interesting that the conclusion we talked about was how you're in the middle of a disruption, and later on you realize, oh, my God, there was something really big in there for me.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So anyway, going back to the article by Dr. Saik, she mentioned that love is the third most important emotion, that we must love ourselves and make that our first priority before we can love others. That was the most recent point that she made. The fourth point that she made was the value of laughter as food for the soul. And that's always one of my favorite ones. Alex King and I, every time we do a show together, it's just one joke after another. It's just one funny line after another because we just want to laugh.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Saik says in her article, laughter relaxes muscles and it releases tension. It causes physiological changes that have been compared to a mild workout.
Wow.
It increases blood flow and improves sleep, making it easier for your physical body to restore itself. So nourish yourself by finding reasons for laughter in even the most insignificant occasion. And don't be afraid to get silly because it's good for your soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with that totally. Yeah. Especially, what's that?
I can't remember where or what, but reading articles of people who have like cured themselves of major disease.
True.
By watching nonstop funny movies.
Lots of people have done that. Yeah, it's amazing how many people have done that. absolutely true. And I love the part that she emphasizes, even if it's on the most insignificant occasion. That's how Alex and I do a show where we're laughing every 3 minutes, because we pick on the most insignificant thing in the conversation to turn into something funny that we can laugh at. Mm-hmm. And when you can do an entire show that way, you realize, wow, there's a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities to laugh every single day, every single hour, if we just look for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Is that it for?
There's a fifth one, actually. Mm-hmm. The fifth one is joy.
Of course.
Now, she says joy means finding something. What's that?
Everything on the top of the emotional scale.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's part of what caught my attention when I read this thing. But she says joy means finding something worth celebrating in everything you do. Very much related to what she said about laughter. It is goal-oriented and positive. You may have prepared a particularly satisfying and delicious meal for your family. Your child may have shared a lovely, poignant drawing. Or you may have simply looked out the window and been inspired by a beautiful sunset. Nourish yourself by finding something joyful to celebrate out of your day before you go to bed each night.
Yeah.
And then she...
It touches in on the gratitude and appreciation again, you know.
Now, what's really interesting here is that I won't do the rest of the article, but the rest of the article is about unhealthy foods for the soul.
Oh, really?
And I won't go into any of the details. I'll just list them. Self-doubt, judgment, stress, fear and insecurity, anger and hatred. Those are her list of things that do not feed the soul.
Especially fear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I would say they're all actually categorized under fear. I think fear kind of drives all of the negative emotions. That's my way of thinking about it anyway.
Shapeshifter.
Ooh, the new card. Okay.
In the conversations with God, I think he's talking about polarity. You know, we have to have, we, he's like, if we're all just sitting around and everything's perfect and there's nothing to do, you know? So that's why he had to bring in polarity, because from those experiences spark our creativity and give us something to focus on, something to work on, something to do, something to create, because ultimately it's all about creation.
True.
Okay, so shapeshifter, card meaning, you can be anything you desire.
Ooh, I like that.
Let go of attachment to your identity. See the world around you with new eyes. Be malleable. Experiment with different ways of viewing reality. See the point of view of others. If you haven't been able to manifest your dreams, maybe you need to shift the way you see the person or the situation.
Mm.
Yeah, that's important, right? Because
oh, yeah.
That's where you're shifting and seeing the gift in it mm-hmm. while you're in it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. I like that. I like the name of the card, because that the way that they're expressing it, shape-shifting, is really the way I think of just making my choice of where I want to be instead in my life. That's, to me, that's what the shape-shifting is. And it takes some attention to do it, but it's worth it. Hmm?
Making the choice of where you want to be.
Of what I, where I want my life to go, how I want my life to go.
Okay. You
know? Like, yeah. If there are certain areas of my life that aren't playing out the way I want them to play out, well, trying to focus my attention and imagine where I do want to play out, that for me is shape-shifting.
Right. Because then we get into nebulizing it, right?
Nebulizing it, that's right.
Okay, so your native, it goes on, says your native spirit wants you to know. Oh, my dogs are going to howl. Let's see if it makes a problem. In earth-based cultures, shapeshifters had the mystical ability to transform into other forms of consciousness. It said that these beings were not imagining that they were changing into a specific animal, plant, or stone. They could actually morph into another shape. Just because most people today don't think that this is possible doesn't mean that it is not true.
Mm.
This card shows you because it wants you to know that your past does not need to equal your future. Simply shifting your point of view or belief system can bring an entirely new destiny into being. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Totally. And then it says the journey. is to deepen your ability to shapeshift. Simply imagine that you're an animal, bird, plant, or stone. Make it as real as you can. Doing this deepens your ability to shift your beliefs and limiting decisions that perhaps you've held back from fulfilling your highest destiny. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're saying, you know, you can practice doing it on something like I'm a bird now, right?
Yeah, sure.
Not like, okay, I'm running a multi-million-dollar corporation or whatever it is somebody's wanting to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But start with something that's easier, because you can do that in your imagination.
That's true.
Yeah, you can sit and imagine anything, really.
I have been noticing that I described this a few moments ago, how as my confidence level has grown, the reactions I've gotten from others has changed over the course of the last few years. And that I can very easily identify that with a form of shape-shifting. It's almost as if they are seeing a different person now. Now, I'm still the same me. I haven't really changed who I am, I don't think.
You're shifting into another, a higher aspect of you.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Because
that's good.
You're bringing, like I said before, you're holding more light.
Mm-hmm.
Your energy is expanding out and in the very best of ways so that people feel it. They can't put their finger on it, so then they might be like, something changed. Did you lose weight? They can't put their finger on it.
Right.
Because it's not something that can be seen. It's something that is felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think it's an experience everyone has had at one time or another, even without being a conscious creator. If anyone who's ever experienced the feeling of you're in a location and it's as if nobody can see that you are there.
We talked about that one time. What was that?
Okay. Oh, that was a while back. I can't remember exactly what
there was someone who made a comment, and it was maybe on a show with Cheryl.
Oh, I think you're right. Yes, right. That's when it was. Yeah. So, there's an example of it. But I know everybody's experienced that. I know I have many times, especially when I was younger. I experienced that a lot. And, there was that part of my rational mind that says, well, I mean, they really could see me. It's just they weren't paying any attention to me. But as I have gotten into studying this stuff with you and with others, I'm not so sure of that anymore. I may not have been viewable by them at that point in time.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a really fun way to look at that, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at it as like a negative. It's like, oh, maybe I had some superpowers going at the time.
That's right.
My physical body in the room.
I've even experimented with this on my daily.
Now you're in my Matrix world of all.
I mean, Matrix work. That's right, yes. But I've experimented with it on my walks. There are some days I'll take a walk and I'm feeling high as a kite. I'm feeling so good, super high energy, and I don't go out with any kind of intention. It's just that I'm on this really, really big high. All the people who pass me who have grim looks on their faces don't even look my way. They don't see me. But there are other people who pass me and they look at me and they're staring at me and they smile at me and I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking along.
You know what? It's like attracts like.
That's
so
right.
Those people are of a high enough vibration to see your vibration.
Exactly.
The other ones can't be near that vibration. They just can't. It doesn't exist.
That's right. Yeah. I remember one particular person. It's an older woman who I've seen on occasion out there walking. And she is one of the grimmest people I've ever seen. She has a perpetual grim look on her face. Almost never looks up. She's almost always looking at the ground. Even if you call out to her and say hello, she won't break her gaze from the ground. I mean, she's in a really rotten place, you can tell. And I remember doing an experiment with her one day because I saw her. She was approaching from the other direction. I could see her well off in the distance. I said, you know, I'm going to see if I can influence the situation. So I deliberately put myself into the highest vibration I could reach at that moment in time and just, you know, appreciating the nature and feeling good and isn't it great to be out here and what a gorgeous day it is, and got really, really excited. And then as I got within about, I don't know, 100 feet of her, something like that, I started to imagine that she was smiling. And she had, not just smiling, it was a big grin. I mean, she was just feeling so good, and which took some doing, by the way, because I'd never seen her in that, you know, actual pose. I had to create that pose in my mind, but I did. And then I just kind of stopped when we got about 10 feet away. I kind of looked over, and she was just walking like she normally did, and then she kind of hesitated, looked up at me, gave me about a microsecond, little tiny smile, and walked out.
It just shows you you can influence others, and you are holding that container, because that's what we do as coaches. We hold a container, like the space for you to step into what it is you want to be, right? Especially with healers, and we clear out the stuff that's preventing you from being in that container. But you chose to only see her a certain way, and you held that space for her.
Mm-hmm.
You made it available to her.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't ever think to make, probably, I don't want to say no one ever, but who knows?
Probably very few, because, I mean, if that was her normal behavior pattern, and I suspect it was, she probably wasn't getting any positive attention from almost anybody she knew.
Yeah. So that's really cool, because you can see then how you influenced the energy, and she was enough of a willing participant to allow that to happen. You
just
know?
A little bit, but she did allow some of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I love the fact that, I mean, all I did, like you said, is I held that space. I didn't think of it as holding a space. I just thought of it as holding her in a positive place. But, yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Space
and she reacted.
Blocks for her to step into.
Yeah, yeah. But the part that blew me away is the one time I actually tried that, she took advantage of it. That was really cool.
So guess what card I got now? And maybe this is directly to what you just did.
Okay.
Mental role model.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, so it says, if you've been, hold on, I need glasses for this deck. Okay. So if you heard that being intuitive is a special gift for only a select few, then you've been misinformed. Once you start paying attention to your vibes, you'll see that there are creative, artful, six sensory people all around, and they look normal except for one thing, they shine.
Mm.
That's what you're doing. You're shining, man.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
If you hesitate to step out of the closet as a sixth sensory person, and especially related to you, sixth sensory, you're allowing that part of you to open, you know, that psychic intuitive part.
Yeah. More and more.
If you hesitate to step out of the closet as a sixth sensory person, look for these mentors to inspire you to navigate the psychic highway with more confidence and ease. Seek out public people who demonstrate that being sixth sensory can indeed be graceful, creative, supportive, and fun. Role models for intuitive living are not that hard to find. They're people who are ethical, humanitarian, and spontaneous. Their auras sparkle. They laugh out loud, and their enthusiasm for life is infectious. They listen, follow their heart, trust their feelings, speak their truth, and act on their instincts without hesitation. And they encourage you to do the same. Ask them what their secret is, and inevitably, they will say, I trust my vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So you were playing with vibes.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Sparkling. It's like, if she, and she didn't know it, but guess what? I bet her soul knew it.
Probably, yeah.
And that could have, even though it seemed like a little thing, that really could have given her so much that you'll never even know.
I wouldn't doubt that. I would actually believe that, because when I look at myself and my own development, very often the improvements that I've made over time, or even sometimes steps backward, are really small. They're really, really small steps. But when I look, you know, say 5-10 years later at what I went through and what those steps were, they added up to something pretty big. So the smallest steps can lead to really big stuff pretty quickly. They don't have to take all that long.
Yeah.
In fact, they usually don't.
It's that whole thing of cracking the egg open.
Yeah.
I actually first heard that way of saying it from Christy Whitman, who has the Quantum Success Law of Attraction Coaching Academy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She put it that way, and that, like, clicked with me. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is, because you can't put it back together.
No.
That crack is there, right? That chick's going to hatch out of that egg.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd say you cracked her open just a little bit.
Well, or more precisely, I encouraged her to crack herself open a little bit.
You know what? That would be fun, Walt, to keep doing that.
You know, what's interesting about that, Linda, is from the day that I did that, I haven't seen her again.
Oh.
I freaked her out, yeah. So I'll keep that in mind. In fact, the next time I see her, oh, no, that's not true. I did see her one time. Oh, boy, there's an example of what we were talking about a moment ago. Okay. I saw her, but I didn't see her.
Ah.
Because my vibration was so much higher than hers, I just didn't even notice. But as I think back, oh, yeah, she was there. She was actually there, yeah. So I'll have to make it a little more of a deliberate, intentful thing to pay attention to, is she around, and then try some more, you know, getting into that high vibrational space and help her.
Well, you don't know what that means. That doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, of course, it looks like, well, you guess what you feel, but it could just be that she is a truly loving person, but she doesn't know how to act. And, you know, she has some quirky things that keep her from interacting.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, as somebody who, through most of my life, I was a very shy, introverted person, I know exactly how that feels. And it's not a happy place. It's a very uncomfortable place to be in. But when you live it as much as I did, I don't have to work hard to remember what it's like. It's kind of ingrained in the back of my mind. So I know what she feels like in that place. And it doesn't feel good, and you want to get out. So, I mean, that's why I kind of go back to what you said a moment ago. That may have been a big deal for her that day, to have that one little breakthrough.
And with that understanding and that empathy you have for that, I would say if you have the opportunity to do it again, why not?
Oh, I'm going to.
She doesn't have to lift her head, but she'll still be getting that energy.
Good point. Yeah, I don't even have to see a result come out of it, although I think I probably will.
Yeah.
But you're right, that there doesn't have to be an actual visible result to justify having done it.
Right.
I mean, you're the one who points out to me, no positive energy you point out there goes wasted.
No. Yeah, it'll bounce off. If she can't hold it, it'll bounce off and go to the next person that can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you probably cracked her open a bit there, and so, you know.
I'm hopeful for her, you know? I'm hopeful that she'll find a way to kind of break free of the ties that she bound herself with. Because, I mean, we bind ourselves with those ties. It's not somebody else who did it to us.
You know? Nobody does anything to us.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of, and that gets back into the planning before you come here, soul planning. Nobody does anything to us that we don't allow to happen in some way, shape, or form. Even when we don't understand, why the heck would I be allowing this shit to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suspect that for many people, that's one of the toughest things to learn, but one of the greatest things to learn in life.
Yeah. Because as far as the words go, it's like, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. But you have to kind of experience it or see it in a few places to be like, or to run across someone who went through something so bad that then says, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Then you're like, oh, really? Ah. I mean, that's a real live person right there who just told me that from, and I know what they went through, you know, if you did. Then it gives it more clout. So that when you say those, like I can say those words and truly trust it and believe it, but somebody else might hear those words and say, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? I totally identify with that because, let's see, it was last week I celebrated my 7th anniversary doing the podcast. It was also my wife's and my 20th wedding anniversary.
Yay!
Thank you. But it was also among the people who have been my co-hosts over the years, the one who's been with me the longest, even though right now he's kind of in a limbo land because he's trying to adjust his schedule, but that's Joel Elson. He was actually the 12th show that I did of all time, and then later on he came on to be a co-host and has been co-hosting with me on and off now for about 4 or 5 years. And in that time, I learned a ton along the exact lines that you're describing right now because he told me his story. And his story was horrific. I mean, it was a really awful story. He has been homeless. He has been imprisoned for theft. He has been dealt with all these horrible things that were going on. He was addicted to gambling. I mean, just one bad thing after another. And yet, he considers all those events not things that he wants to go through again, but to be the best things that ever happened to him. In fact, he has, on, I don't know, a dozen different occasions, related to me the story of what it was like the day he was thrown into prison.
Yeah.
And how it was the best thing that ever happened. Because when they slammed the door closed and he realized he couldn't go anywhere, he was stuck, and all of the stuff that he had been fearing all this time that was going to happen had finally happened. It wasn't as bad as he thought it was.
Yeah.
And the whole thing started to change in his mind.
Yeah.
And so today he looks back on it as that's where my life started to take off.
Yeah,
totally. You hear that story, especially when you're doing a podcast. I mean, this is my co-host telling me this story as part of the podcast. It really sinks in. So I know exactly what you're talking about, not just with Joel, with others, but Joel's the one that kind of jumps to my mind because his story is just so starkly, obviously painful to have gone through.
You know, and what popped in my mind is something very simple part of that bigness that you just described.
Mm-hmm.
With my karate career, you know. The first time I got punched in the face, and I actually got from the side of my face. So it put me on one knee for a second, and then got back up. You know what? I was like, "Oh, that's what getting in the face feels like. Oh, that's nothing. I can't do that. No big deal. I'm not afraid of that. I totally took the fear out of getting hit in the face out of me.
Wow!
Because I experienced it,
mm-hmm.
and then I knew. It's not as horrible as I thought it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I got punched in the face before. I remember one time, one fight, I got hit in the referee didn't even see it. Got hit in the jaw, on, like, four times.
Good grief.
The referee just wasn't seeing it. And you don't go, ref, she punched me in the face. Like, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't eat for a week.
Oh, God. Ugh.
I think I might have won that fight. I don't remember. I probably did, because otherwise I would have been more pissed that he didn't see it. but yeah, it's like, all right, so I experienced that, and I was actually grateful for it, because it showed me that it's not something to fear. So I don't have to go into those matches. Say if you're looking at life, whatever the situation is, but in this is just a little match, like a little karate sparring match. There wasn't any fear about getting in the ring, about, you know, getting hit. Because in my mind, that would be the worst thing, to get hit in the face, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plenty of body shots. But anyway.
Well, what you're describing is what Joel calls awfulizing. We have an ability as human beings to take something that is not a pleasant situation and work it through our mind and work it and work it and work it until finally it is 100 times worse than the actual event.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're not done there. Because once the event happens, then we play it over and over and over again, and we keep replaying it, and it gets worse. It's like the fish story, and it's worse and worse.
The bigger story.
That's right, yeah. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's the fish story that never stops growing.
Yeah. And then if you went back to the actual incident, or even to that person, I'm like, well, I never even did that. Where did that come from?
Right. Well, the ref didn't see it.
I did it.
Yeah, awfulizing is something, well, there's something that I can find something good in. Because to me, awfulizing demonstrates just how freaking powerful we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we are able to take this relatively small, relatively, I won't say insignificant, but, you know, relatively minor event that caused it a moment of discomfort, perhaps pain, perhaps even severe pain, and turn into something so much worse just by thinking on it and focusing on it. I mean, what better example do we need of how powerful we are than that?
Right. So let's make the conscious choice to put the brakes on that and say, okay, I'm going to do this, but in reverse. I'm going to do that exactly how I want it to be and better.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the trick. That's the skill.
You know what I realized lately? Because I listen to different books and different teachers and stuff like that. And it's like, oh my God, they're saying, I'm listening to a book, I don't know if you ever heard of it, Psycho-Cybergenics.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that was a plastic surgeon who wrote this book.
Oh,
and,
was he? Oh, okay.
And I think it was because he was seeing how changing the face didn't always, because they were like, whatever it was that they thought was abnormal about them that stopped them from living their life, when it was fixed, didn't always fix their life.
Right.
So that's where he got into this whole thing. And I think it was written, I don't know, in the 50s or something, a while ago.
It was a while ago.
God, so many things he talks about. I'm like, oh my God, I heard like 50 different teachers teach that one. I've heard that one. And I'm like, this guy was talking about it before I heard these other people talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that. Like Neville, right?
Right.
You know, you look back at a lot of these different things. But it's always the same message, really.
It is.
We just have to own who we are and let ourselves be that without all this chaotic stuff joining in.
Isn't it something how just owning ourselves and being who we are is such a challenge for us, and yet when we get there, it's so powerful for us.
Except, you know what? Have you ever seen a two-year-old who doesn't own who they are and think that they're, like, the best thing in the world?
No.
I mean, rare. I mean, there could be some out there, but it's rare.
Uh-huh.
They're like, look at me. I'm great, you know?
Yep.
Watch me throw this ball. And it falls like, yeah, see how good I did it?
I love it.
Right? Yeah. They have no problem being Cinderella or this one or that one. They're just it. Because they decide they're going to be, today I'm going to be a ballerina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a ballerina.
Well, I mean, we all know the word Pollyanna. A Pollyanna is somebody who, in popular lore, they get overly excited about nice things. Oh, no, no, they're over the top with it. But I don't know if you've ever read the original book that Pollyanna comes from, because there was a character in a book.
Probably not. What is it?
And it was actually, there were actually two books. One was called Pollyanna, and the second one was, it wasn't like The Further Adventures, but it was like the next.
Okay.
But the title implied that it was the next book in the series. And it was the story of a little girl who was an orphan, who was adopted by her aunt, who was a wealthy aunt in Boston, I think. And this wealthy aunt was a miserable old cuss. I mean, she's just not a happy person. And she brings in this girl who just finds delight in everything. I mean, she is the ultimate live in the moment person. Everything is wonderful. Everything's sparkly. Doesn't matter how poor she is. Everything is wonderful. And when you understand that that's where the origin of the word is, that it isn't about this person who has this unrealistic look at the world, you realize, wow, first of all, people are misinterpreting what this word Pollyanna really means. It really means, I love my life. I love everything about it. I appreciate. I am grateful. I am all the things that were in that article we were reading. All the things that were in those cards that you were bringing out.
You know what's so awesome about this conversation is that the past few days I've been thinking, I just want to, because you know I can be in that space, but I can't be in that space all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking there are people who walk around who are so happy all the time, just so happy. They exude this happiness. They could have misery happening in their life, but they're still happy, like they're still like glowing. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to be glowing like that, like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that Pollyanna right there.
It is. It is. And by the way, the it's a novel, of course. And so, as with any novel, it has to have a storyline. The crisis of the story is where she gets sick. And I don't remember. I think it was she either got injured, something that laid her up in bed. I think it was an auto accident. That's right. She got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors, this was early 1900s, so the doctors had very little medical knowledge. They didn't think she was going to live. If she did live, she was going to be paralyzed for life, yada, yada, yada. And all of the people in the town where she was now living, who had all been curmudgeons before, and she had helped turn into rays of sunshine because of her attitude, they all came together on her behalf. So it's a story of how she influenced others to help her.
Right, right, right.
Which
how about
I thought was a wonderful
story.
The
aunt or whoever took her in, she must have changed.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. She had a big change. In fact, one of the subplots is how she had an unsatisfied love affair that never had come to fruition, and that love affair comes to fruition later in life. So that's one of the subplots. Yeah. But it's light reading, but anybody who wants to have a real good feel-good book, go find Pollyanna in your library. It's a good story.
I wonder if Audible's done, because sometimes they do
probably
these books like plays, you know, like mm-hmm. audios, like you're doing
yeah.
with your podcast.
Yep.
I'll have to look it up.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, we're nearing the end. I wanted to make sure I get a couple promo announcements in. First of all, if you're not yet a subscriber, please become one. We really love all the people who are our listeners. We're really happy, too. The 85% of our listeners are subscribers, so they're hearing multiple episodes. And we're doing plenty of them, so they have lots to listen to. We're doing 5 days a week. So feel free, and they are free. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. Go to the website, the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and right at the top you will see instructions on how to become a subscriber. It takes about 3 or 4 clicks. And then also check us out on YouTube. Most days, not so much today, but most days we're live streaming to YouTube. Today Zoom was having a little bit of an issue with that, but that'll get cleared up, I'm sure. And just do a search for us on YouTube, LOA Today Podcast Videos. Click the subscribe button. Click the little bell so you can be alerted every time that we publish something there. And, you know, feel free to join us if you are available at the 4 p.m. New York time slot. Monday through Friday, because that's when we're actually live streaming as we're recording. So, you know, feel free to tune in and chat with us while we're doing the show. We love hearing from people. And Linda, before we go, tell people how to reach Linda Armstrong, the life coach, because sometimes you need to talk directly to somebody who has your kind of training.
Yeah. Just go to my website, lovemylife.coach.
Oh, that's really simple. You couldn't make that any harder, could you?
No, because everything's there. You know, you want to go to my YouTube, it's there. You know, everything's there.
That's great. Excellent. So, well, this has actually been a really nice conversation, different from what we've done in the last few shows, but I like this one. This was good.
Yeah.
So thank you for
winging it. Winging it is always fun.
Well, especially when you're talking about something that has so much positive feel to it, because that's what I liked about this one. This one has so much positive feel. So thank you very much. And thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.